And a pleasant good afternoon to you, and welcome to the Rouses here, South Acadia, 10:30 here in Thibodaux. Mike Haas along with Deuce McAllister in a special edition of Sports Talk, again, from the Rouses Market in Thibodaux, getting ready for a huge football weekend, including Nicholls State and LSU tomorrow night. But come on by the store, say hello to Deuce and myself, get that USDA Prime Beef T-Bone Steak, $9.99 a pound, and you save $10 per pound. And we are finally ready for football weekend, and you couldn't have just worse weather. Maybe we're playing inside. This is like the anti-Irvine, right? This has just been brutal out there. They moved two high school games that were supposed to be at the Shrine on Airline. They're playing in the Superdome tonight. So, Deuce, it's been a while since you've been down here in Thibodaux, huh?
No. It's been a while since I've been and looked at Nicholls State.
It has been for me.
I was down in the area a couple weeks ago, and it's always good to get down to Thibodaux. You know, we have some phenomenal fans, phenomenal people, and one thing you'll get in trouble when you go get out of New Orleans. New Orleans will get you in trouble, too, but the food.
Yeah.
The food, you're going to get in trouble in Thibodaux. You're going to get in trouble in Lafayette. You're going to get in trouble in Lake Charles. You know, down on the bayou, you may get a little more wild game or gamey type food that you may not find in other areas, but man, you're gonna get in trouble with the food. Now, and the good people though,
oh,
no doubt about
people.
It.
Good, yeah. People. I it's been a while since I've been down here, you know. We used to always come down here, and you can always tell when the sugar cane was kind of at this level, it was football season, right? You'd pass the trucks, they'd be in front of you, either picking it up, and I'm sure they're not liking this weather of late, but I mean, you can always kind of go by the sugar cane. It just feels like high school football and football season.
Yeah, and we needed some rain, but we didn't need all the rain in like 3 or 4 days.
But that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean,
everything's in excess.
Yeah, we needed some rain. The state, the city, we needed some rain, but we didn't need it all, you know, within a 96-hour period and just continuous. And the worst part for the rains, it hadn't been just – at times it's been just downpour. It's just been constant.
Right.
Just something to meld with you. You know, like it got a little mosquito that's just bothering you, and you keep swatting at him and you can't kill him. That's what the rain feel like. It's just, hey, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to just be a constant drizzle to you and just to bother you enough.
And it doesn't sound like it's going to end anytime soon, but it's beautiful here inside of the Rouses, and we'll be inside on Sunday for the Panthers. But we do have some outside games, and that will be Nicholls State at LSU tomorrow night, 6:30. Tulane plays Kansas State tomorrow at 11 at Tulane, as we all often do. We'll begin talking about the very first Friday injury report. The Saints have four players out: Jalen Ford, Dallin Holker, DeMarco Jackson, and Colin Saunders. I cannot believe that A.T. Perry will play. That would be a surprise, since he hurt his hand. And the media asked Coach Allen today, he said his hand was in a cast. Coach Allen wasn't sure about that, but it doesn't sound like A.T. Perry will play. Is there Pete Werner's fine? Willie Gay's questionable? Lattimore fine? Saldivari questionable? Really, the questionables are Gay, Saldivari, and A.T. Perry.
Yeah, and I think with A.T. Perry, I think it really becomes, can you catch the ball?
Yeah.
Can you catch the ball? I mean, that's a pretty good deal. Even if it's in a cast, you can probably get away with it. The question becomes, can you catch the football, and then can you injure it even further? You know, if you don't play this week, then does that accelerate you being healthy and being able to go for the rest of the season? Because the thing that you don't want to happen is to you go out there, you're ineffective, you can't catch, and now you re-injure it or injure it even worse. And so the Saints and the doctors, they will make that decision. It won't be just up to A.T. Perry in that situation.
For the Carolina Panthers, somewhat expected as well. Yosh Nyman is questionable. He was limited this week. He's the backup tackle. Miles Sanders, no problem. He'll be out there, the running back. They've had tight end issues with Ian Thomas and Tommy Tremble. They are both out. They signed Messiah, can't think of his last name, this week.
Swenson.
Messiah Swenson, rookie out of Arizona State, got him, actually poached him from the Green Bay practice squad. So he might have been getting ready to get on a plane for Sao Paulo, Brazil. And they're like, hold on there, young man, you're going to Carolina.
Yeah.
And so they signed him. They've got Jordan Matthews, the veteran there, and Jatavion Sanders, their rookie. So, man, I'm not even sure where to begin with the Saints and Panthers other than.
Well, here's something interesting when you talk about Jordan Matthews. Jordan Matthews is a former receiver. he bulked up a little bit to play tight end. He's not a traditional tight end, and so I'm interested to see how they use – and here's where it gets tricky for them. If you don't have a true tight end at that position, then it's more of a flex guy. So are you comfortable using him as a guy that's, you know, really not blocking per se defensive ends, but with their backup tackle kind of being banged up,
right?
When you go, if you want to go 12 personnel, then I'm normally probably running either another light tackle or a guy that hadn't been in my system out there, or I'm running a backup tackle. What if their backup tackle can't go?
Right.
So instead of it being tackle number 6, it's tackle number 7. You know, and so you're getting into territory where it's like, man, how do we protect a quarterback? And so I say that all to say the Saints, you have a tough task in front of you just because it's the unknown factor. But from a personnel standpoint, offensively as well as defense, and we haven't even talked about them defensively, just at the defensive end position, they've got some question marks there from a health standpoint and just personnel standpoint.
Ian Thomas has been kind of the blocking tight end for them. He only had 5 receptions last year, and Trumbull had 23. But yeah, we'll see how that does play into it, because you're right, it's not just the tight ends. It's Nyman as well. One of the things I talked to Coach Allen about today, and I found, you know, the Saints offense from a system, you know, for opponents, I'm not saying they knew, but you've had this kind of foundation of Drew and, you know, Sean and Pete Carmichael. And so now you don't, you know, you get, you know, Clint Kubiak and unveil this, you know, at least he's interested to see, like, he doesn't know what's going to happen. Like, what this offense and how the opponents try to defend you.
Well, no, I mean, so that's the same with Canales as far as the head coach being from Carolina. Offensively, you scout the system.
Right.
You scout the tendencies of the head coach. You know, he'll be the guy that's basically calling the plays with Clint. You know, you scout the tendencies. Yes, I know what Alvin Kamara likes to do, so you try to put him in that offense. And so that's where you scout the tendencies of a coach to kind of prepare. And just, I think it's unique in a sense, it's the first game. So right. From a preparation standpoint, this is the longest that you will have. I mean, because you go they won't have to get on the plane after the game, but you go really after that tape, I'm going to watch it twice. I'm on to the next, you know, I'm on to the next game, you know, and so
at least you
it's on
to
Dallas.
Look at, right? As opposed to this past 3 months of watching the same stuff, right? The same cut-ups.
Yeah, well, it's not even the same. It's the same cut-ups, but you go back, in some situations, you may go back 2 years. You know, you may go back in 2 years. Hey, Mike, this is what I want. I want all red zone defenses. I want all red zone defense, what they did, red zone defense from 10 yards and in, you know. Now I want all red zone defense, 10 yards and in on third down. And it's a pure cut-up. And there may be situations where there are 40 plays that you draw from. And now I just make some notes. And I'm trying to find tendencies. And now from a player standpoint, a player may not get that deep into it. But from a coach's standpoint, that coach is going to get deep into it. Now, quarterback, he may get, you know, exotic, and he's got all kind of notes, and that's where he's got to start flushing it out. Last night was a flush night. Last night was the flush night for the QB and even the play caller, offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator.
Got to take a break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, special edition of Sports Talk, broadcasting live from the Rouse's Market, 1030 South Acadia Road, right here in Thibodaux, right next to Nickel State, who will play LSU tomorrow. Take a break. We'll be back after this. Stay with us. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. It is a special edition of Sports Talk until 6 o'clock tonight. We are broadcasting live from the Rouse's Market, 1030 South Acadia Road, right here in Thibodaux. Getting ready for Nickel State and LSU tomorrow. Don't forget, you can get 42-ounce Hillshire Farm smoked sausage, only $7.99. You save $4 a pound. And joining us now is Tim Acosta. He's the Rouse's marketing guru. I'm sure your business card doesn't say that.
No, it doesn't.
But that's the title that you have. And what a great weekend, right?
Nichols, all right.
Nichols and LSU for the first time. So I know a lot of people will be tailgating here and there. Mm-hmm. Got to come by here first, right?
Right. Yeah. No, first of all, welcome. Welcome to Thibodaux, you guys.
Thank you.
Mike, Deuce, good to see y'all down here. Wish the weather would be a little bit better, but this South
nice,
Louisiana,
nice
that's how
sitting.
It is. Yeah.
It's one or the other in South
right.
Louisiana.
Yeah, Tim, no. all it does is makes us have to go inside a little bit, or, you know, you get under a cover, and you can still cook pretty good.
That's right.
That's
right.
What I want. I want to know what
cook
good deal. There you go.
Outside.
I want
right.
to know what good deal you got for me, or you would suggest for me, you know, if I'm experimenting on the grill, or if I want to do a little you know, maybe I don't want to call it a stew, but I want to do a pot of something.
It's not, pot of something.
Not, yeah, it's not cold enough, but yeah. for a junk pot. But mm-hmm. I need some suggestions for you.
All right, I'll see what I can do for you on that. I mean, as far as throwing something on the grill, inside, outside, you know, we got prime T-bones this week too, $9.99 a pound. You can't beat that, you know. And then we also got a good deal on these boneless chicken breasts this week too, $1.97 for Sanderson's. But no, a lot of people in Thibodaux getting ready. A lot of people going up to the game tomorrow. Nichols is doing a big tailgate over there. I know the alumni is heading up there. Been in the store a couple hours here this afternoon, and folks are kind of getting some stuff and packing up their tailgate and heading up to Baton Rouge. You know, it's great. Great for Nichols, and it's good for LSU and good for the state and good for Baton Rouge and Thibodaux to have this game this weekend.
It's been a long time coming, right? I mean, they were wanted to play in 2020.
Right, COVID.
Scheduled,
yeah,
COVID. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes when these things get off the schedule, they're not easy to get back on. And, again, it's an all-Louisiana deal. So,
yeah.
We're, you know, but what does it mean for this area and Thibodaux to get to play, you know, the school like LSU?
Yeah, no, I think a lot of people are excited about it. And then not only for the, you know, the athletes and the Nichols you know, football team, but a lot of the alumni, the folks that went over there, you know, because a lot of them go to LSU for the tip for the games anyway. So, but it's just a
just
little
bit. Just got to sit on a different side tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. But I know folks, some bunch of my son's friends that live out of state, a lot of people coming in for this game because it's a first time in a lifetime opportunity that
right.
for them to have that, you know, just to see Nichols on the field at Tiger Stadium. I think it's great.
I know we were talking just from a football standpoint, but just talk about the high school football as well and some of the tailgates that you'll have going on and, you know, some of the deals that people can always come and get in. It just doesn't have to be today or tomorrow as they stock up for
right.
the week. You know, you got high school football Friday, and, you know, like we said, the rain may slow it down a little bit, but it ain't going to stop it.
Yeah, well, right here in Thibodaux, we got Edie White and Thibodaux High, you know, and then Homer, you know, H.L. Bourgeois and mm-hmm. Terrebonne and South Terrebonne. So, Friday night high school games are big. A lot of folks, customers, went here earlier, getting last-minute things, a lot of party trays grabbing and going, you know, sandwich trays and some of the egg rolls and the fried chicken, a lot of fried chicken going on too. So, yeah.
Guru, I got to ask you, on those party trays, Guru, do you have suggestions for me? Because, I mean, I want to try to create one, but I want people to eat it as well. What would you suggest for myself?
Well, we – charcuterie.
Okay.
Charcuterie board. Get
uh-huh.
some, yeah, we got some boar's head, some sliced deli meats, and some cheeses. And then you can also get some egg rolls on there. We also have empanadas and a little bit of everything. But, yeah, you can't go wrong with charcuterie with assorted Italian meats and cheeses and some dips and spreads.
Perfect for weather like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's perfect for any day.
That's
it don't have to be weather like this it had any day. And,
right.
and when you talk about days – Tim, tomorrow, they tell me that you turn a year younger. That's the rumor.
Yeah,
that's the rumor on the street now.
That's old DePaul there, huh?
Well, I hadn't talked to DePaul about this.
Somebody.
I hadn't talked to DePaul about this. They tell me that you turn a year younger.
One more trip around the sun. So, yeah, another year going by.
That's a blessing in itself, sir.
Yep,
so,
yep.
Guru, we celebrate for you.
Oh, boy. Y'all something.
Happy
y'all.
Birthday.
We'll take this to break. As we say
right.
today, Tim Acosta here
Thank
at the
y'all.
Rouses.
Happy
Please
birthday.
Come on by. 10:30 South Acadia. Sports Talk. We're back.
All right.
After this, stay with us. Welcome back. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. We're at the Rouses, 1030 South Acadia Road in Thibodaux, getting ready for Nicholls State. LSU tomorrow, Tulane plays tomorrow, high school football, Saints on Sunday. Also, don't want to forget to mention, of course, Magazine Pizza at 1068 Magazine. And whether you drive in or have it delivered, the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. They feed the gang on Sundays at the station, so appreciate all the work and everything that everybody at Magazine Pizza does. MagazinePizza.com. Sticking with our theme, we're in Thibodaux talking about Nicholls State and LSU. And joining us now is a Nicholls Hall of Famer soccer coach, Lester Bima, also part of the Colonels Athletic Board. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me, guys.
So Nicholls was going to play in 2020 with LSU. And I guess talk about really kind of how the game came about, because Coach O was involved then. And, you know, there aren't many big state colleges who push for something like this, but his, you know, background and the Bayou, Coach O wanted it to happen.
Well, Coach O was a former Nicholls coach. He coached here back in the 80s, I think it was. And, you know, we need a money game every year, at least one or two maybe. So that was a big game for us in 2020. And then COVID came in 21. So the game was called off. We only played seven games that season. It was six conference games only. We finished 3-3. One was a makeup game, like, but it wasn't a big game. But we only played six games that season, and it really hurt the school finances. We right away we in a hole.
Well, you weren't alone, right?
Yeah, a lot of different programs and organizations and teams because of what you just said. But I got to rewind, Mike. You said something. You said soccer.
Yes, sir.
Like.
Football.
Real football. I'll go with that. So, that was one of my first love, if not my first.
You're kidding.
No, I was a sweeper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was a sweeper in the Ford and loved the game. But you go back 30 years, there was not a lot of the development, and you had to go South America or over to Europe.
Oh, so yes, you're right.
Yeah, the development that you have now with the game is so much further along, but even could be more,
right?
And the price of entry to the game, that's the problem.
Yes,
I mean, until you lose a lot of kids because a ton of them can't afford it,
right?
But that I'm not going to rant about that. We that's an offline camera conversation for us, but you know, just tell us a little bit about what Nicholls has done up until this point and where they see themselves going, just because of the changing landscape and scope of we'll call it college athletics, not just college football, but college athletics in general, and you know, the future, how we want this program, this university, to be able to grow.
Well, after COVID, we were struggling before COVID.
Correct.
And then we hired Tim Rebo.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came in, he changed a lot of things around. He brought the enthusiasm back to campus like you wouldn't believe since Sonny Jackson left in 81, when Sonny Jackson hired in 81. And the place got fired up. Everybody's fired up. Everybody's thrilled to be part of a team and going to all the games. And the crowd came back. And we won, I think, three or four conference championships with Tim Rebo. Went to two playoffs. We played three SEC teams already. And we came close to beating Georgia by two. Lost to Georgia Bulldogs. And we beat Kansas. And we lost to A&M by 10. So we program is on the way up. You know, Tim signed two great players, Sully Lesh and Chase Forkey.
Mm-hmm.
And those two guys took us to another level, honestly. Those two guys are All-Americans on campus.
But you talked about at the top, the fact of the matter is some of this is money, right?
Oh.
I don't know who does your scheduling, but y'all play five of your first six on the road.
Yes.
That's tough. So you play.
It's all about the money.
You know, it is what it is, but you got to do what you got to do. LSU, then you go to Sacramento State. But again, five of your first six on the road. But the back half of that schedule, a little more. You get into the conference play. Then, of course, the finale, which will be here in Thibodaux against Southeastern for the Riverbell.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a big one.
And we're also excited about getting Southern University back on our schedule.
Yeah.
October 5th, I think we go to Baton Rouge to play Southern, and they come here in the next couple of years. But we're very excited. It's a big game for us. Always been a big game. A lot of fans, a lot of people, you know. Excited about happening,
yeah,
guys.
I think anytime that you can get the excitement on campus and like you talked about in the program and not just football, I think that's where, you know, the support and the funding definitely comes.
Right.
And, you know, just talk, give us a little of your insight. I know it's football season, but insight from a basketball standpoint, baseball standpoint, you know, just some of the expectations or at least some goals that each of those teams or teams around campus, something that they're willing or wanting to hit.
Well, first thing is we have the new outdoor facility practice covered, which just finished. First year we're using it. Then we're spending about $20 million on a nursing program, new building. We're spending about $4 million on soccer program. Spending another $2 million on baseball. And we're spending some more money on softball, about $2 million on softball. So really moving in the right direction. We have a brand new coastal erosion building on campus, over $20 million building. So we're really moving up.
The area's changed a lot.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't been haven't been down here in a while. We were here for camp, and that feels like yesterday. Mm-hmm. That was 24 years ago, 23 years ago,
right,
when Nichols hosted Saints training camp. And you talk about and the look at the roster from Nichols State. You want to see Louisiana?
Oh, Louisiana.
Look at the roster.
A lot of Louisiana
you
kids.
Know, you have to, it's easier if you just go through and pick out the non-Louisiana kids. And you were able to bring back three all-conference players, Colin Guggenheim, Jalen Spears, and Evan Roussel.
Right.
That's Lutcher, Brother Martin, John Curtis.
That's
correct. It is just, you know, and I think that's a pretty – that says a lot about a program to be able to bring those players back when it's so easy to not come back, right?
Right.
The transfer portal is just blowing up. And to keep those kids coming back, that speaks a lot for the program.
It makes me nervous what's going to happen next year with all these new rules, roster changes, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the minor sports. Football is going up, but all the other sports are like 28 scholarships, and that's it.
It's
34 in baseball.
It's tough,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, non-revenue sports as well as just even some of the revenue sports, they're going to get they get slashed just because of the new rules that you're talking about going into place. And so, you know, even from a scholarship standpoint, even your big sports, yes, you can have some, but, you know, the question will be even walk-ons. How do you handle that? So a changing landscape as far as college athletics is concerned.
I'm kind of nervous for the high school kids.
Well, they're the ones that's getting left out.
They're going to suffer the most.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Just because of the transfer portal, and now a young man, a lady, gets 5-6 years as far as they already get five, but now, you know, it's nothing to get a 6-year because of a transfer, and so it's going to be intriguing. You know, hopefully some of that talent you can still develop and be able to get, but it's going to be intriguing to watch what happens.
Correct. It's kind of scary, honestly.
No, but I don't. And nobody. And we just had the Olympics, right?
In
Paris, huge deal. Mm-hmm. What those sports, right? Those are the sports that, you know. Where's the Olympic team in 4 years coming from, right? Because a lot of those programs, the swimmings and the fencing and
gymnastics,
all that stuff is just.
Right.
It is so hard. Football's going to drive the train. It is what it is. They've always driven the train, but it's a different landscape now. You're going tomorrow?
Of course.
It's important for these. You mentioned Southern and Nichols and Southeastern and University of Louisiana Lafayette. You know, all these schools. How important it is for these to play each other.
And I want to make sure we get the check because I'm going for sure.
Go pick it up.
Get the check. Cash it quick. That's where I'm going.
Right. It'll be and Deuce, you. I was going to ask you this. You know, out of curiosity. It's a tough game for Nichols. It's going to be a swamp, right? Does that level anything off? You never know what can happen.
Yeah, the question becomes just the overall numbers.
Right.
If you can hold up as far as the overall numbers, I mean, you'll see it in the line of scrimmage. You may have one or two guys that compete, but normally when you play those type of games, it's just the overall numbers of players and then the sizes in the line of scrimmage. That's where you get in trouble. And then after, you know, 2-3 quarters, can my guys hold on? That's what happens. You've got skill. You've got, you know, quarterback position where you'll be able to hang with them. But it's in the trenches.
Correct. We're looking forward to it, though. We've been wanting to play LSU for a long time, many years, since COVID, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. You think about it. Never happened. It's a first.
First
tomorrow
time
night,
ever.
6:30.
Yeah.
Lester, we appreciate your time. Congratulations, 2010, into the Hall of Fame, former Colonels Athletic Board. And, you know, it's a tough landscape, but you get it done. Right? Other people are closing up shop. You're building, you know,
all kind of
new buildings. So
you're
all in.
Thank you all for having me.
Appreciate it.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Take a quick break. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. We are at the Rouses. Come by, say hello. 10:30 South Acadia. We're in Thibodaux. Again, getting ready for Nichols State and Tulane. We'll talk a little bit more Saints and Panthers when we come back after this. That's right. Get ready. Get ready for a high school football Saints, Tulane, LSU, Nichols State. And welcome back to a special edition of Sports Talk. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. We're at the Rouses Market in Thibodaux, 1030 South Acadia Road. Getting ready for Nichols and LSU tomorrow, 6:30 in Baton Rouge. 21-35 count peeled and deranged Louisiana shrimp. They don't even need Louisiana. We know it's Louisiana shrimp. $6 a pound. You save $4 a pound. And also tonight, 7 o'clock after the Brian Kelly Show at 6, it is the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup, Ian Ozan, Alan Waddell, and Coach Lou Valden. Lots of big games going on. I'm not going to get into the number of them because they're everywhere. We also had two games had to get moved from the Shrine at Airline. They got moved to the Superdome this afternoon. John Curtis, as well as Rummel, forget who they're playing, but anyway, they're the second game tonight. So just a huge, huge weekend of sports. And did you watch, and I know you probably did, I almost lost my mind in the Kansas City-Baltimore game in the first drive and the illegal alignment of the tackle in the backfield.
You didn't like the call, or you
I just
didn't?
Don't understand. Here's my point. I'll be quick. If the NFL wants to make a point, they've had training camp, preseason games. Make your point. We're all abide by the rules. Hey, we're gonna start calling this. They give you a warning. I just don't understand how. That's the first I've heard about it. They called it four times. One was offsetting. I was like, it just seemed to be surprising to me.
No, it just tells you what the focus and the point of emphasis is going to be. I mean, and from a coaching standpoint, they probably told the coaches prior to game, you know, say, hey, this is what we're going to be focusing on. And, you know, when you go back and we had the meeting with the officials,
right,
that wasn't one of the things that
was
brought up.
That's what I mean. So it feels like we decided last night that's going to be an emphasis.
Well, let's watch tonight. And
right,
we'll see if it's an emphasis. And I think it's really crew by crew on how they really call it. And some people feel like that it's a new rule. It's not a new rule.
No.
It's just a point of emphasis. That's
right.
All it is.
It's like if they wanted to call, if they you knew
but,
this.
But here, I'll make a point after you tell me what you're
saying. No. I was going to say, if they wanted to call left and right tackles for procedure, false start, they could do it every play.
They're going to call that closer. Then every crew may not call it the same way, but they're going to call it closer. But the thing that they're looking for, and it's not a new rule, it is where is the helmet of the left tackle based off of the alignment of the center? His helmet has to be even or at least at some point with the belt line.
Within a yard, whatever the rules are.
It's probably closer than a yard. His helmet has to split that line. It can't be within a yard. I mean, because if he's back.
That's back. He's
off the line.
But that was the problem last night.
It's the early snap that they're going to call a little bit closer.
Right.
But it'll be based off of – it's always based off the officials. Which makes it inconsistent.
Right. And so, you know, I guess I think it was Stanley. Was that the tackle last night?
Ronnie Stanley.
Yeah. So Staley,
I think. Notre Dame tackle.
Stanley. So he's almost standing. He's still vertical.
Yeah.
If he would just lean over a little bit, you know, Jeff Nomak had heard about this. I'm surprised that Harbaugh didn't lose his mind.
Well, it was because of now he loses his balance.
Right.
When
he leans back over.
Yeah,
right?
When I tilt that much,
right,
now my balance is going to be off.
And you got Chris Jones on the other side. You're a little more cognizant.
You need some you need some stability as well. If I'm going to be kick setting and kicking back and now I'm leaning forward and I'm not comfortable. And, yeah, you've got a good reason to lose your mind as well.
Well, it was interesting. It was a heck of a game. Came down to the last play in a game of inches, and that was, you know, clearly a game of inches there. And we'll see tonight. It was just interesting to me that we hadn't talked about it, you know, and that it was such a huge factor. And you have, I know, people that you know that are down in Brazil.
Yeah.
It's these games, you know, it's one thing in the game six of the season. This was the kickoff. And you got Green Bay and Philly. It causes adjustments.
Well, I think for both teams, you're probably happy that it's game one and not game seven,
right,
or eight.
You're playing one night, on the road the next.
Yeah, and so it's from a preparation standpoint. It's like we were talking about the Saints in Carolina. That first game is the longest that you will ever prepare for one opponent. Now you throw in some logistical hiccups, we'll call them hiccups, because no other time will you fly 10 hours to play an opponent, you know, like basically Green Bay and Philadelphia are both doing. And then the part for both of those teams, normally when you go over to London or Germany to play the game, you can at least see the city a little bit. Both teams were told directly, you cannot leave the hotel. You cannot leave the hotel. That's what they were told directly. So both teams, neither went early. I mean, neither went early like they would normally do. You know, sometimes even for the Saints, they go a week. You know,
right,
they leave on Monday. They get there on Monday. But, no, both teams, they flew out, Friday games. I think it was Wednesday afternoon. And so you get there. They didn't want them to go to sleep on the plane. They wanted them to stay up. I think they're 2 hours. I think they're 2 hours
time
ahead.
Difference.
Yeah, time difference. They're 2 hours ahead of us. And so it's intriguing. And I know – since Philly is the home team, Philly chose the close hotel by the stadium. Green Bay, with the police escort, has a two-hour ride for the one practice that they had there and for the game.
Man, that's tough. That's tough. When we were in London, it was challenging, but it wasn't like that. But it was an hour from the hotel to the team practice and then the practice back to the team hotel. So those things are, you know, you do it for the good of the league, but they are challenging for sure. But, you know.
We'll wait our turn.
Yeah. Well, I just, you know, because I'm sure they're both home because we have Philly week three. Yeah. We play both of these teams this year. Philly week three after Dallas. But my assumption is both Philly and Green Bay got to be home
next week.
I can't imagine the NFL would do that to them. Put them on the road.
Their first two games.
Yeah, and with one being in Brazil. That's the way we kicked off the weekend last night with Kansas City beating Baltimore. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are at the Rouses in Thibodeau, 1030 South Acadia Road. Come by, say hello. We're here till 6 o'clock right before the Brian Kelly Show. And then at 7 o'clock, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Take a break. The news is next. We're back after this. Welcome back, everyone. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are live from the Rouses Market, 1030 South Acadia Road in Thibodeau. Nichols and LSU tomorrow at 6:30. Come on by and get all of your fixing for your tailgate, irrespective of what you're doing tomorrow for the game. Tulane's in the morning. You got LSU and Nichols at 6:30 from Baton Rouge for the first time ever. And, of course, Sunday at noon, it's the Panthers and the Saints kicking off the 2024 season, also the NFC South. Joining us now, former NFL running back, host of Believe in the Panthers podcast, Jonathan Stewart. Jonathan, Mike Haas, as well as Deuce McAllister, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, man. How are you guys doing?
I am good. Just, you know, kind of give us your thoughts. Carolina, you know, 2-15. Another year, new head coach Dave Canales came from Tampa, really revamped offensive line with, you know, spent about $150 million, got a couple of new guards and moved Corbett to center. Just, you know, what's the feeling there in Carolina about why this team will be better?
Yeah, it's a new era. You know, Dave Canales and Dan Morgan, they seem to have a really good, you know, chemistry going on. You know, their history of working together, I think, will pay off in the long run for the Carolina Panthers. I love the energy that Dave Canales has brought in thus far for training camp. You know, just seeing, you know, how he's able to meet guys where they are as a head coach is so valuable. You know, just being a player myself, just, you know, the difference maker it is when you have a coach that can actually see you where you are and can help you, you know, grow and be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be on and off the field. And it's good to know that we have a coach like him, you know, on our side. And then obviously having Dan Morgan, you know, he was a beast in his day, in his playing days, and knowing that he is at the forefront of making decisions as far as who's coming in here and putting on the helmet and being in that locker room, it's very, you know, it makes me at peace knowing that we're going to get some guys in here that love football, that love, you know, the process and understand what it takes to be great. And so, at the end of the day, we won't know until we know, right? And the first test will be against the Saints, and I'm excited to see what you guys put on display.
When you talk about just how they're building that program and some of the things that they've done, you look at the young quarterback last year, being able to get some weapons around him, being able to get some protection around him. What are some of the other things that you see that, you know, from an improvement standpoint, whether it's defense, whether it's, you know, hey, we need to add maybe a body or two here at this position. What are some of those things that you see? And it doesn't have to be short term, just long term focus, how they can continue to improve that roster.
Yeah, you know, I think, as you know, depth is so important. You know, we have an offensive line that's really good on paper, you know, at the starting position, right? And you can basically go across our whole roster and make a case for, you know, why depth needs to be a, you know, a major, you know, not a major concern, but, you know, it has room for improvement. I would say depth is important for the offensive line position because it's a long season. You know, guys are going to get injured. Guys are going to get nicks and bruises. So you got to make sure you have guys that, you know, are top tier, you know, in the sense of, you know, getting guys in there to keep this thing rolling, you know, once the season starts. And I love the additions that they've made at the offensive line spot. You know, got guys that can actually finish blocks. And, you know, when we're talking zone scheme, when we're talking gap scheme, getting guys on the ground and getting guys to move off their blocks and get to the second level is super huge for, you know, explosive plays. And once we're able to, you know, get that working for ourselves, then we can actually get this passing game working for ourselves. And it seems like that's what they're trying to emulate in the sense of, you know, what their identity is, you know, hard-nosed, tough football. And so the defensive side, you know, I think our defensive line, for the most part, is pretty solid. I think we need another pass rusher that can make us, you know, a complete unit. I think we need some depth. You know, to depth answers. I don't know whether we have that on the roster yet or not, but we just got Michael Jackson from the Seattle Seahawks. He's put up a great resume, so I'm excited to see him play. Our safeties are, you know, right there, you know, in the top 10, in my opinion, as far as, you know, the league goes. So I think, you know, from looking at how we were last year as a defensive unit, we were still able to make plays. Our running game, stopping the run game was an issue for us, but adding A'shaun Robinson is a really huge factor for us. You know, being able to have someone there and within those tackles to stop the run game would be huge alongside Shy Tuttle. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's a work in progress, and there's going to be some learning, some growing pains this season, but as far as last year, I think we're light years ahead.
Jadeveon Clowney as well, right, defensively?
Oh, yeah. Jadeveon Clowney, is, you talk about a guy that might be a pass rusher effect, but he's really good in the run game. You know, he's proven last year in Baltimore to be a run stopper, which is huge for us as well.
And we talked about the blocking for Bryce Young's, you know, same situation, the running back situation. You know, Jonathan Brooks is hurt, but second-round draft pick. So they go out and they get Deontay Johnson. Migos in his second year. They draft Xavier Leggett. You still have Thielen. And then they go and bring in David Moore, who was with Canales in Tampa last year. So it's about – it feels like it's like, okay – Bryce, we're going to get you the protection, and we're going to get you some weapons, and then see where things fall out.
Yeah, like I think it's awesome that he has the weapons there for him to choose from. I think Dave Canales is the perfect marriage for Bryce Young because he's a guy that's going to help him grow in areas that, you know, he might be deficient in, but also he'll be able to just continue to stack on the confidence in the areas that he's really good in. So adding these weapons, guys like who you said, Deontay Johnson, being able to get into his routes and create separation, right? That's one of the things that we suffered from last year is guys getting open. And so when you have Deontay Johnson, you have Adam Thielen, you have Xavier Leggett, you have Jonathan Mingo, you have this receiving core, and now you have a quarterback coach that's talking in the ear of Bryce Young of saying things like, hey, let's get the ball out quicker, right? Let's help the offensive line gain confidence in pass protection. This can be a recipe for really good things, you know, this season, especially if they keep these guys healthy. So, again, like I was saying, the difference from last year to this year, in my opinion, it could be light years ahead as long as they do the things that they're supposed to do.
Jonathan, what's the feeling around from a fan standpoint? You know, are you excited? Are you pumped up? You know, looking forward to the upcoming season, not just Sunday, but the upcoming season for the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, dude. So I think at the end of the day, everyone is, you know, excited, but more realistic. And I think they're more realistic because they understand the direction. They understand the messaging. They understand the hope behind, you know, the organization right now. Before, I think it was kind of hard to find that you know, with the coaching staffs before this time, and just kind of where things were, right? Whenever things, you know, whenever you break up a band, people are left in shambles of, like, wondering, you know, what's next and having questions. I mean, you've had the departures of Christian McCaffrey, Greg Olsen, Cam Newton, Thomas Davis. And so when you look at, you know, look at this from a fan standpoint, you're thinking to yourself, well, you just broke up a good thing, in my opinion, so what's next? So everybody's just been kind of, you know, like looking at the Carolina Panthers organization as this, you know, question mark of what's next. And I feel like right now we're starting to gain an understanding of what's next because Dave Canella is being transparent with his plans, Dan Morgan being transparent with what he wants and just being able to just say direct of what he's looking for when it comes to building a football team, which is simply put, I want dogs. So everything that they've been saying this offseason has been, you know, really well written. And right now, we just got to go out and execute.
Well, we'll find out Sunday, noon in the Superdome. Jonathan Stewart, a former NFL running back, part of the Believe Panther podcast. Appreciate your time. Thanks for spending some time with us, and we'll be talking down the road.
No doubt. Thanks, man. You're a huge fan.
No doubt, my brother. Love watching you play, man.
Yeah, love watching as well. Stay safe.
Same to you. Jonathan Stewart. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We'll take a quick break. We are at the Rouses, 1030 South Acadia Road in Thibodeau. Nichols and LSU tomorrow night at 6:30. Come on by, say hello to Deuce, and pick up whatever you need for that tailgate tomorrow in whatever area you're going to be, whatever game you are watching. We're back after this. WWL, Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister on a special edition of Sports Talk. Welcome back. We are at the Rouses here in Thibodeau, 1030 South Acadia, as Nichols gets ready for LSU tomorrow night, 6:30. Just, you know, just prime beef T-bone steak for $9.99 a pound. You only save $10 a pound. Come on by. You get your tailgate fixings ready for tomorrow for what is going to be a huge weekend. Not the best weather, but it is what it is. Saints on Sunday. LSU and Nichols, Tulane tomorrow, high school tonight. We're joined now by Shane Kleber, who's the director of Colonels Athletic Association, also a former player. Nichols at 2001 to 2005, played defensive end, and quite frankly, looks like he could still play. Been talking to Deuce a little bit. So in 2001, when were the Saints here? That was 299, 2000, something? When was that year? I know you remember.
2001.
2001. So you were part, were you around during that time?
Yes, sir. We love the Saints being here. One of the benefits to us was they would leave a lot of stuff for us, whether it be equipment or cleats, or they kind of fixed the dorms up for us. So by the time we got in there, you know, we had the nice bedding and all that good stuff. The Saints would leave gloves and all the, you know, all the fixings.
And you got to see this man.
Yes, sir.
He got to see me go out and almost pass out is what it was, because I had an 11-day holdout until we were talking about it earlier. I think the first day that I got here, it was the day of the black and gold scrimmage. And so you come out on the field and you realize, man, I've been doing some stuff, but it's hot. And the humidity just hits you and makes you think about a little different about holding out. I'll put it that way. But definitely some great experiences here at Nichols, and, you know, just looking at the growth that not only from Thibodeau's standpoint, but from Nichols' standpoint. Just talk a little bit about the programs and where you see the vision for this program and some of the energy that it has had over the last 4 or 5 years from a growth standpoint.
I mean, the growth's been incredible. 17 sports at Nichols, and when you look at the championships that we win in now, I mean, in football, you have 3 championships in the last 4 or 5 years. Basketball's competing for championships every year, girls and boys. Baseball just repeated, you know, 2 years in a row. We went to Corvallis and really put on a show up there, and it just showing folks that we belong. And that hadn't always been at Nichols. You know, we went through spurts where you had it in the 80s in football, and then back in the 90s, in the mid-90s with Darren Barbier's crew, and then Darryl Day and Jay Thomas in the early 2000s. And then now with Coach Rebo, it's been just 10 years of consistent winning, and that kind of rubs off on everybody, you know, no matter what sport.
Well, I've got to brag a little bit on the Manning Academy and just some of how it has showcased, and I don't want to say it, probably fast-track some of the growth just with the opportunity and then exposure, but just talk a little bit about how that has definitely helped with the growth of it, and, you know, just bringing, opening some eyes of maybe some prospects that wouldn't just normally just come to Thibodeau, but just to be able to get them on campus as far as at Nichols, and then I know they have the big man camp here as well after the Manning Academy.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. When you're looking at quarterbacks from around the country, just the top-level guys from college, I mean, there's nowhere else you would get that kind of training. And these kids sign up a year in advance. You got over 1,500 kids that come in, and your camp counselors are the best in the business. And these guys move on a year or two, and they're playing in the NFL. Somebody like a Dak Prescott that you can look back and say, man, that guy was training out in Thibodeau. And, you know, I worked in his group. And then the economic impact, you know.
Welcome back, everyone. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister. We are live from the Rouse's Market, 1030 South Acadia Road in Thibodeau. Nichols and LSU tomorrow at 6:30. Come on by and get all of your fixing for your tailgate, irrespective of what you're doing tomorrow for the game. Tulane's in the morning. You got LSU and Nichols at 6:30 from Baton Rouge for the first time ever. And, of course, Sunday at noon, it's the Panthers and the Saints kicking off the 2024 season, also the NFC South. Joining us now, former NFL running back, host of Believe in the Panthers podcast, Jonathan Stewart. Jonathan, Mike Hoss, as well as Deuce McAllister. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
I am good. Just, you know, kind of give us your thoughts. Carolina, you know, 2-15. Another year, new head coach Dave Canales came from Tampa, really revamped offensive line with, you know, spent about $150 million, got a couple of new guards, and moved Corbett to center. Just, you know, what's the feeling there in Carolina about why this team will be better?
Yeah, it's a new era. You know, Dave Canales and Dan Morgan, they seem to have a really good, you know, chemistry going on. You know, their history of working together, I think, will pay off in the long run for the Carolina Panthers. I love the energy that Dave Canales has brought in thus far for training camp. You know, just seeing, you know, how he's able to meet guys where they are as a head coach is so valuable. You know, just being a player myself, just, you know, the difference maker it is when you have a coach that can actually see you where you are and can help you, you know, grow and be the best version of yourself that you can possibly be on and off the field. And it's good to know that we have a coach like him, you know, on our side. And then obviously having Dan Morgan, you know, he was a beast in his day, in his playing days, and knowing that he is at the forefront of making decisions as far as who's coming in here and putting on the helmet and being in that locker room, it's very, you know, it makes me at peace knowing that we're going to get some guys in here that love football, that love, you know, the process and understand what it takes to be great. And so, we'll, at the end of the day, we won't know until we know, right? And the first test will be against the Saints, and I'm excited to see what you guys put on display.
When you talk about just how they're building that program and some of the things that they've done, you look at the young quarterback last year, being able to get some weapons around him, being able to get some protection around him. What are some of the other things that you see that, you know, from an improvement standpoint, whether it's defense, whether it's, you know, hey, we need to add maybe a body or two here at this position. What are some of those things that you see? And it doesn't have to be short term, just long term focus, how they can continue to improve that roster.
Yeah, you know, I think, as you know, depth is so important. You know, we have an offensive line that's really good on paper, you know, at the starting position, right? And you can basically go across our whole roster and make a case for, you know, why depth needs to be a, you know, a major, you know, not a major concern, but, you know, it has room for improvement. I would say depth is important for the offensive line position because it's a long season. You know, guys are going to get injured. Guys are going to get nicks and bruises. So you got to make sure you have guys that, you know, are top tier, you know, in the sense of, you know, getting guys in there to keep this thing rolling, you know, once the season starts. And I love the additions that they've made at the offensive line spot. You know, got guys that can actually finish blocks. And, you know, when we're talking zone scheme, when we're talking gap scheme, getting guys on the ground and getting guys to move off their blocks and get to the second level is super huge for, you know, explosive plays. And once we're able to, you know, get that working for ourselves, then we can actually get this passing game working for ourselves. And it seems like that's what they're trying to emulate in the sense of, you know, what their identity is, you know, hard-nosed, tough football. And so the defensive side, you know, I think our defensive line, for the most part, is pretty solid. I think we need another pass rusher that can make us, you know, a complete unit. I think we need some depth, you know, to depth answers. I don't know whether we have that on the roster yet or not, but we just got Michael Jackson from the Seattle Seahawks. He's put up a great resume, so I'm excited to see him play. Our safeties are, you know, right there, you know, in the top 10, in my opinion, as far as, you know, the league goes. So I think, you know, from looking at how we were last year as a defensive unit, we were still able to make plays. Our running game, stopping the run game was an issue for us, but adding A'shaun Robinson is a really huge factor for us. You know, being able to have someone there and within those tackles to stop the run game would be huge alongside Shy Tuttle. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's a work in progress, and there's going to be some learning, some growing pains this season. But as far as last year, I think we're light years ahead.
Jadeveon Clowney as well, right, defensively?
Oh, yeah. Jadeveon Clowney, you talk about a guy that might be a pass rusher effect, but he's really good in the run game. You know, he's proven last year in Baltimore to be a run stopper, which is huge for us as well.
And we talked about the blocking for Bryce Young. You know, same situation, the running back situation. You know, Jonathan Brooks is hurt, but second round draft pick. So they go out and they get Deontay Johnson. Migos in his second year. They draft Xavier Leggett. You still have Thielen, and then they go and bring in David Moore, who was with Canales in Tampa last year. So it's about protect. It feels like it's like, okay, Bryce, we're going to get you the protection, and we're going to get you some weapons, and then see where things fall out.
Yeah, like I think it's awesome that he has the weapons there for him to choose from. I think Dave Canales is the perfect marriage for Bryce Young because he's a guy that's going to help him grow in areas that, you know, he might be deficient in. But also, he'll be able to just continue to stack on the confidence in the areas that he's really good in. So adding these weapons, guys like who you said, Deontay Johnson, being able to get into his routes and create separation, right? That's one of the things that we suffered from last year is guys getting open. And so when you have Deontay Johnson, you have Adam Thielen, you have Xavier Leggett, you have Jonathan Mingo, you have this receiving core, and now you have a quarterback coach that's talking in the ear of Bryce Young of saying things like, hey, let's get the ball out quicker, right? Let's help the offensive line gain confidence in pass protection. This can be a recipe for really good things, you know, this season, especially if they keep these guys healthy. So, again, like I was saying, the difference from last year to this year, in my opinion, it could be light years ahead as long as they do the things that they're supposed to do.
Jonathan, what's the feeling around from a fan standpoint? You know, are you excited? Are you pumped up? You know, looking forward to the upcoming season, not just Sunday, but the upcoming season for the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, dude. So I think at the end of the day, everyone is, you know, excited, but more realistic. And I think they're more realistic because they understand the direction. They understand the messaging. They understand the hope behind, you know, the organization right now. Before, I think it was kind of hard to find that, you know, with the coaching staffs before this time and just kind of where things were, right? Whenever you break up a band, people are left in shambles of, like, wondering, you know, what's next and having questions. I mean, you've had the departures of Christian McCaffrey, Greg Olsen, Cam Newton, Thomas Davis. And so when you look at this from a fan standpoint, you're thinking to yourself, well, you just broke up a good thing, in my opinion, so what's next? So everybody's just been kind of, you know, like looking at the Carolina Panthers organization as this, you know, question mark of what's next. And I feel like right now we're starting to gain an understanding of what's next, because Dave Canellis being transparent with his plans, Dan Morgan being transparent with what he wants, and just being able to just say direct of what he's looking for when it comes to building a football team, which is simply put, I want dogs. So everything that they've been saying this off season has been, really well written. And right now, we just got to go out and execute.
Well, we'll find out Sunday, noon in the Superdome. Jonathan Stewart, a former NFL running back, part of the Believe Panther podcast. Appreciate your time. Thanks for spending some time with us, and we'll be talking down the road.
No doubt. Thanks, man. You're a huge fan.
No doubt, my brother. Love watching you play, man.
Yeah, love watching you as well. Stay safe.
Stay safe. Same to you. Jonathan Stewart. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We'll take a quick break. We are at the Rouses, 1030 South Acadia Road in Thibodaux. Nichols and LSU tomorrow night at 6:30. Come on by, say hello to Deuce, and pick up whatever you need for that tailgate tomorrow in whatever area you're going to be, whatever game you are watching. We're back after this. WWL, Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister on a special edition of Sports Talk. Welcome back. We are at the Rouses here in Thibodaux, 1030 South Acadia, as Nichols gets ready for LSU tomorrow night, 6:30. Just prime beef T-bone steak for $9.99 a pound. You only save $10 a pound. Come on by. You get your tailgate fixings ready for tomorrow for what is going to be a huge weekend. Not the best weather, but it is what it is. Saints on Sunday, LSU and Nichols, Tulane tomorrow, high school tonight. We're joined now by Shane Kleber, who's the director of Colonels Athletic Association, also a former player. Nichols, at 2001 to 2005, played defensive end, and quite frankly, looks like he could still play. Been talking to Deuce a little bit. So in 2001, when were the Saints here? That was 1999, 2000, somewhere? When was that year? I know you remember.
2001.
2001. So you were part, were you around during that time?
Yes, sir. We love the Saints being here. One of the benefits to us was they would leave a lot of stuff for us, whether it be equipment or cleats, or they kind of fixed the dorms up for us. So by the time we got in there, we had the nice bedding and all that good stuff. The Saints would leave gloves and all the, all the fixings.
And you got to see this man.
Yes, sir.
He got to see me go out and almost pass out is what it was, because I had an 11-day holdout until we were talking about it earlier. I think the first day that I got here, it was the day of the black and gold scrimmage. And so you come out on the field and you realize, man, I've been doing some stuff, but it's hot. And the humidity just hits you and makes you think about a little different about holding out. I'll put it that way. But definitely some great experiences here at Nichols, and just looking at the growth that not only from Thibodeau's standpoint, but from Nichols' standpoint. Just talk a little bit about the programs and where you see the vision for this program and some of the energy that it has had over the last 4 or 5 years from a growth standpoint.
I mean, the growth's been incredible. 17 sports at Nichols, and when you look at the championships that we win in now, I mean, in football, you have 3 championships in the last 4 or 5 years. Basketball's competing for championships every year, girls and boys. Baseball just repeated, 2 years in a row. We went to Corvallis and really put on a show up there, and it just showing folks that we belong. And that hadn't always been at Nichols. We went through spurts where you had it in the 80s in football, and then back in the 90s, in the mid-90s with Darren Barbier's crew, and then Darryl Day and Jay Thomas in the early 2000s. And then now with Coach Rebo, it's been just 10 years of consistent winning, and that kind of rubs off on everybody, no matter what sport.
Well, I've got to brag a little bit on the Manning Academy and just some of how it has showcased, and I don't want to say it, probably fast-track some of the growth just with the opportunity and then exposure, but just talk a little bit about how that has definitely helped with the growth of it, and just bringing, opening some eyes of maybe some prospects that wouldn't just normally just come to Thibodaux, but just to be able to get them on campus as far as at Nichols. And then I know they have the big man camp here as well after the Manning Academy.
Yeah, it's been phenomenal. When you're looking at quarterbacks from around the country, just the top-level guys from college, I mean, there's nowhere else you would get that kind of training. And these kids sign up a year in advance. You got over 1,500 kids that come in, and your camp counselors are the best in the business. And these guys move on a year or two, and they're playing in the NFL. Somebody like a Dak Prescott that you can look back and say, man, that guy was training out in Thibodaux, and I worked in his group. And then the economic impact. We went out to a local place to eat, and just to see people in there bringing the economic impact to it as well and putting Nichols on the map as far as on ESPN and having that kind of coverage for us, it's huge. And then the lineman camp, I mean, you have 700 kids here, and then the next thing you know, how many D1 guys you have on campus, you know, and so that's a big advantage, you know, for coach to be able to go around and see this going on and see these guys up close and personal. So those two camps, I mean, you mentioned them, they're phenomenal. You got the Pro Combine camp, that's another one, but just a phenomenal opportunity for Nichols to be a part of these kids' lives and for them to look back and say, hey, you know, I attended the lineman camp. You know, I did it myself in 98, and so my kid attended a couple of years ago, so it was kind of like passing the torch, and some of the same coaches have been there the whole time.
The ability to have, like, a Tim Rebo and, you know, because he's local, Destrehan, right, LSU grad, right, playing against him tomorrow, and his first college job was here. But it is the stability. Four times, including last year, you go to the FCS playoffs. So you know it's going to be there. I'm not saying it's going to be for it, but just to have that stability there has got to mean a lot.
It means a lot. And, you know, to have that continuity here in football, Coach Rebo's been here. It's going on 10 years now, and he's had the same offense and defensive coordinator there the whole time. So just to have that continuity here at Nichols, that's huge. I mean, we don't always see that. We had guys come through here like Charles Kelly. You know, he ended up with Florida State as a defensive coordinator, and we had John Robinson was the GM of the Tennessee Titans. Those guys were on the staff that I played for. Mickey Joseph was another one. So he had so many guys that would come through, but you could never keep that cohesiveness for more than 2 or 3 years. Tim Rebo was able to kind of keep that together for 10 years going now, so he really wants to be here.
And if you like Louisiana football, you will love Nichols' roster. Like 90, I mean, it is literally a who's who of Louisiana high school football names and schools that you'll see. 90-something like that.
93 players. Nobody does that in the state of Louisiana. Nobody does it in the country. So when you look at, you know, most Louisiana might say, well, you know, LSU is our team. Well, when you look at the roster and actually go up and down, when you got 93 players, there's only one team that can claim Louisiana, and that's the Colonels. You know, locally here in Thibodaux, you have 8 guys that play on the team. One guy's from Thibodaux High. You actually have 7 from EDY Catholic. And then at Destrehan, we talked about that, another winning program. We have 5 kids from Destrehan, 5 kids from John Curtis. You have 6 kids from Catholic of Baton Rouge. So that's that Baton Rouge connection there, including our linebacker, Hayden Shaheen. Mm-hmm.
When you look at just not we talked about it earlier, it being football season, but, you know, just some of the other sports, and you mentioned as well some of the success that they've had. What's an up-and-coming sport or, you know, that – hey, we know we're going to make our heyday with this sport, or you can see the growth in that sport outside of football and basketball.
I would say there's a lot of excitement around soccer. The kids love the soccer coach. She's one of those players' coaches that came in, and there's a lot of excitement around her. And the kids seem to – anytime there's a coach that the players want to play for and kind of go to bat for, you know it's going to be exciting. I think baseball is going to continue their success, but also what Coach Payne's doing with girls basketball. I mean, they finished 3rd last year. They're going to be in the hunt this year, you know, and he doesn't expect anything less than a championship. And that kind of starts from Tim Rebo, and it kind of boils down to every other sport.
As the director of the Colonels Athletic Association, similar to TAF, I mean, it's Lester Beam is still sitting here. I mean, it's a dollars and cents kind of thing, you know, for a lot of these schools. You're playing 5 of your first 6 football games on the road. You're playing these FCS schools, very close with Louisiana Tech last week, playing LSU tomorrow, and, you know, see what happens. But it's a different landscape, right?
It's a much different landscape. You know, just when you look at the scholarship count, that's about a 20 scholarship count difference when you play these schools. But no Tim Rebo team is going to take the field and just be happy to be there. You know, they're going to compete. And when you look at dollars and cents, you know, in the last 6 months, we raised $500,000 on just different events through CAA. Also, we do big membership pushes. We've got 2 big groups here, Huddle Up, well, with football, and also the coaches committee with baseball. And everybody's kind of jumping on board. Now we have a diamond club starting with softball, and we're under par club with golf, and everybody wants to be a part of it, and they see that excitement that's going on. But when some people don't realize, when you go out there and you play and you look, you know, LSU's got a $204 million athletic budget. We're sitting at 9.6. But hey, We're going to make it happen, and we're going to do more with less. And we prove that. We prove it in the classroom, 3.1 GPA. You got 450 student athletes across 17 sports. So that's first and foremost. That's what we look for. And there's no more important thing that you can see those students walk across the stage. As a former principal, I love to see it. I'm loving working with these guys now at the college level and just being able to work with JT and see these kids graduate, come back. You know, you have former players now part of the program. Coach Payne was a player here himself. I was a coach here, a player here myself. JT was a player here. You know, you have several. Coach Helmers was a former player, and she's back. So when you have people that want to come back and want to be here, that's what makes the difference. It's all about the people.
Yeah, anytime that you can have an impact, not only from a team success standpoint, but from graduating. And now they can impact the community in a positive role. I think that's what it's all about.
Yes, sir.
This is a first tomorrow night. You played in 2001, 2005. What would you have given to play under the lights at Tiger Stadium against the Tigers when you were at Nicholls?
I had one opportunity to play in Tiger Stadium. We played the East-West All-Star game, and I was hoping to play against Andrew Withward, and they didn't get that opportunity because he didn't play in the game. But Ronnie Prue did. But just to play against the best, you know, we know we're going in there and you're playing against a top 10 team in the FBS. Just to be there and to show up and say, hey, look, we belong to. And every kid on that team wants that opportunity to put out film and to show people, hey, look, I can do it and I can do it against the best guys in the business. You know, and just to go back to recruiting a little bit, we talk about being local. But your quarterback's from Ohio, so it's not like Tim Rebo doesn't leave the state and, you know, get in his truck and travel and see what's out there. Starting tight ends out there from Pass Christian. We got our star defensive tackle, Mr. Lovelace, from Pensacola. And, you know, rumbling, stumbling, bumbling last week with a pick six, man. And I love to see him do in Tiger Stadium. I know we wouldn't get that eruption of Tiger faithful, but you'd hear that 6,000, maybe 7,000 sprinkled in there. You'd hear it loud enough, you know.
I love it.
I do, too. Well, congratulations. Thanks a lot for spending some time with us. Best of luck. Just, you know, it's a great atmosphere down here. I've always felt that way. I went to an FCS school, so the heck with them. You know, go out there and do what you can do. And, we appreciate your time and just continued success.
Appreciate it. Go Colonels.
All right. Take a quick break. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. That was Shane Kleber, the director of the Colonels Athletic Association, former player, talking about the big game tomorrow night, 6:30 Tiger Stadium. We're back after this, a special edition of Sports Talk. We're at the Rouses, 1030 South Acadia Road. We'll be here till 6, but you can come on by after that. Get whatever you need for the weekend. Here on WWL. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are at the Rouses in Thibodeau, 1030 South Acadia till 6 o'clock. But come on by. They got lots of great deals of anything that you need. The store's only been open since 2019. This area has grown. We're right across from Thibodeau Medical Regional Center. It's just beautiful. And they'll be in Baton Rouge tomorrow. Also, don't forget Magazine Pizza as well, dine-in delivery. They feed everybody at the station over the weekend for when we're having the game days. And so the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. It's magazinepizza.com. And we were talking with Jonathan Stewart, back with Deuce McAllister, and, you know, they went with three new kind of offensive linemen, and they went the Mississippi-Louisiana route. They got Damian Lewis. He was former LSU. He's from Canton, Mississippi.
Exit 119.
I knew you were going. And so he is he's out of his fifth year, so they put him at left guard, so they got him new at left guard. They spent $150 million on their offensive line. They went Robert Hunt, free agent from Miami. He's from UL Lafayette. And then they moved Austin Corbett from right guard to center. So it's funny just because – so the Panthers have three new offensive linemen or a guy in a different position, and it's like their selling card. The Saints have three new offensive linemen, a new left guard, and two tackles playing not their position. And it's like, oh, my gosh, it's the biggest question mark in the world. But that is how these two teams fare is going to be how these two teams fare in the trenches.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, from the vision of what Carolina is trying to do, you're trying to beef up the inside, the interior of your offensive line, and you move kind of a guy to the center position. But at the end of the day, you've got to be able to protect the quarterback. And for the Saints, you talk about flipping your tackles, and you know they're in new positions, but also you have a new left guard because the other one retired, and so the main two stays as far as your center and your right guard, and your right tackle has played in the NFL, but he played left tackle, and then your left guard has played in the NFL, you know, and he's been a guy that's played multiple positions. And so I think the team feels pretty good. Both teams feel pretty good about their offensive line, but both probably question their offensive line as well. I mean, because you don't know how Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis are going to fare, you know, as being new guards, because they are playing their first game together as well. And so that'll be something interesting to watch. Now, the left tackle struggled last year.
Ekwonu
struggled in, I guess that was year two, where he looked a lot better his first year. Last year it was regression big time. But the talent is there. The talent is definitely there for him. And the question is, can he kind of get his rookie year form as far as at the tackle position?
And this is obvious, but it's also crucial. And that is the Saints' ability to run the football.
For both teams.
For both teams. I mean, but we could say that every week all the time. But for this offense and this Saints team right now, with this offensive line, it just feels like if you're in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9 all the time, It's
not really going to be pretty.
It's right. It's just going to – you've got to – and I feel like the team has done everything they can do to get Trevor Penning in the right mental framework. He's done the work. He's the guy right now. It's, you know, go out – just give him some confidence, but he's got to go out and do it. You can't verbally give people confidence. They got to go out and do it.
I think it's repetitive action as well, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's had a lot of snaps.
Yeah, it's repetitive action for him as well, and then just trusting his it's really – from a confidence standpoint – trusting my technique. And so, you know, you can give me verbal all you want, but it's trusting his technique. That's really what when he gets in trouble, he doesn't trust his technique. And so he reverts back to some of the things that he's done and been able to get away with maybe from college days. And so it's a little bit different at this league. And so just trusting his technique, really. And it's not so much of, hey, I don't think I can do it in this league. You can do it. He can do it. He knows he can do it in this league. But am I going to do it where I put myself in the best situation to be successful? That's the question.
Do you don't have – I'm not similar, but not concerns either, but of the Saints defense in that same situation. The front, Colin Saunders, we kind of knew he was going to be out.
I do. I have concern about the Saints and their run defense.
Right.
I do. I mean, and that's just being honest. I have concern about the Saints and their run defense, and because I did not see it enough consistently last year. And so I don't know if, you know, and this is no knock against the rookie Boyd. You add Boyd, but, I mean, Boyd's still a rookie.
Right. And a sixth rounder.
Yeah. Well, even if he was a first rounder, he's still a rookie.
Right.
And so I don't expect a rookie to step right in and be able to say, oh, I'm the answer to all your worries as far as the run game is concerned. So, for me, for that defense, if they can prove and show that they can stop the run – everything else is in place.
Right.
You know, I have a lot less worry on the back end just because they're veterans. I've seen it. I know what you can do up front, particularly in the middle. I need to see it.
Right.
And I didn't see it enough consistently last year. So there is some concern there.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on this. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are live at the Rouses in Thibodeau. Back after this on a special edition of Sports Talk. Welcome back. Just a couple of minutes left here. I want to thank Rouses for everything. They've been awesome. The people of Thibodeau, always awesome. And tomorrow night, Nichols against LSU. And if you were in that number last night watching Kansas City and Baltimore, consider yourself a record. 28.9 million, the most ever to watch a regular season opener, NBC and Peacock. Deuce just shows you the power of the NFL, man. I mean, it's just, you know, the numbers are astonishing.
What is it? It's Peacock only tonight, right?
Yeah, Peacock only tonight.
Yeah, so it's Peacock only tonight. You have, what's the streaming Christmas? Which one is that?
Netflix.
Yeah, you've got Netflix that's gotten in the game.
Prime.
You know, you've got Prime Video that's in the game. Mike, we're going to be international for a couple years. I mean, I don't know where we're going international, but that's where the game is going.
Yep.
We already know from a streaming standpoint, you're already there. But you can always catch us.
Yeah, I mean, we're free.
You may be able to go and look at some of that other stuff on the tube, but you can catch us on the radio.
Right. That's right. Do that Sunday, please.
Don't worry about that. Catch us on Sunday. You can flirt with the other, maybe the TV stuff, but always keep us in mind.
And our coverage will begin at 8 o'clock Sunday morning, then 10 o'clock with the countdown, and then Deuce and I with the kickoff. And as we close, it's just real, finally, right? I mean, training camp was exciting. The preseason was exciting. But it's funny how fast the preseason gets shoved away when it gets real.
Well, here's the thing. For a lot of those guys, if you haven't had the experience, you're about to see how fast the game really is. The game is fast, and it's only going to get faster. I mean, because some people may be upset of one of the comments that Coach Allen made. It's about adjustments. Just right. Because you don't know. It's about adjustment. Who can adjust to what they're doing and maybe what they haven't seen or hadn't seen a lot? Who can adjust the best? Now, talent will always win, but adjustment will play a part as well.
We shall see. Sunday, my thanks to everybody again from Rouse's, Charlie Long in the booth, Luke Augusta, DePaul Smith, the great, legendary Deuce McAllister. It is football for real. High school football tonight. Be careful out there. Roads are wet. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Brian Kelly Show is up next. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are at the Rouse's in Thibodaux, 1030 South Acadia until 6 o'clock. But come on by. They got lots of great deals of anything that you need. The store's only been open since 2019. This area has grown right across from Thibodaux Medical Regional Center. It's just beautiful, and they'll be in Baton Rouge tomorrow. Also, don't forget, Magazine Pizza as well, dine-in delivery. They feed everybody at the station over the weekend when we're having the game days. And so the best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. It's magazinepizza.com. And we were talking with Jonathan Stewart back with Deuce McAllister. And, you know, they went with three new kind of offensive linemen. Then they went the Mississippi-Louisiana route. They got Damian Lewis. He was former LSU. He's from Canton, Mississippi.
Exit 119.
I knew you were going. And so he is the he's out of his fifth year. So they put him at left guard. So they got him new at left guard. They spent $150 million on their offensive line. They went Robert Hunt, free agent from Miami. He's from UL Lafayette. And then they moved Austin Corbett from right guard to center. So it's funny just because – so the Panthers have three new offensive linemen or a guy in a different position. And it's like their selling card. The Saints have three new offensive linemen, a new left guard, and two tackles playing not their position. And it's like, oh, my gosh, it's the biggest question mark in the world. But that is how these two teams fare is going to be how these two teams fare in the trenches.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I mean, from the vision of what Carolina is trying to do, you're trying to beef up the inside, the interior of your offensive line, and you move kind of a guy to the center position. But at the end of the day, you've got to be able to protect the quarterback. And for the Saints, you talk about flipping your tackles, and you know they're in new positions, but also you have a new left guard because the other one retired. And so the main two stays as far as your center and your right guard. And your right tackle has played in the NFL, but he played left tackle. And then your left guard has played in the NFL, you know, and he's been a guy that's played multiple positions. And so I think the team feels pretty good. Both teams feel pretty good about their offensive line, but both probably question their offensive line as well. I mean, because you don't know how Robert Hunt and Damian Lewis are going to fare, you know, as being new guards, because they are playing their first game together as well. And so that'll be something interesting to watch. Now, the left tackle struggled last year.
Ekwonu
struggled in, I guess that was year two, where he looked a lot better his first year. Last year, it was regression big time. But the talent is there. The talent is definitely there for him. And the question is, can he kind of get his rookie year form as far as at the tackle position?
And this is obvious, but it's also crucial. And that is the Saints' ability to run the football.
For both teams.
For both teams. I mean, but we could say that every week all the time. But for this offense and this Saints team right now, with this offensive line, it just feels like if you're in 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9 all the time, it's
not really going to be pretty.
It's right. It's just going to – you've got to – and I feel like the team has done everything they can do to get Trevor Penning in the right mental framework. He's done the work. He's the guy right now. It's, you know, go out, just give him some confidence, but he's got to go out and do it. You can't verbally give people confidence. They got to go out and do it.
I think it's repetitive action as well, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's had a lot of snaps.
Yeah, it's repetitive action for him as well, and then just trusting his it's really, from a confidence standpoint, trusting my technique. And so, you know, you can give me verbal all you want, but it's trusting his technique. That's really what he – when he gets in trouble, he doesn't trust his technique. And so he reverts back to some of the things that he's done and been able to get away with maybe from college days. And so it's a little bit different at this league. And so just trusting his technique, really. And it's not so much of, hey, I don't think I can do it in this league. You can do it. He can do it. He knows he can do it in this league. But am I going to do it where I put myself in the best situation to be successful? That's the question.
Do you don't have – I'm not similar, but not concerns either, but of the Saints defense in that same situation. The front, Colin Saunders, we kind of knew he was going to be out.
I do. I have concern about the Saints and their run defense.
Right.
I do. I mean, and that's just being honest. I have concern about the Saints and their run defense and because I did not see it enough consistently last year. And so I don't know if, you know, and this is no knock against the rookie Boyd. You add Boyd, but, I mean, Boyd's still a rookie.
Right. And a sixth rounder.
Yeah. Well, even if he was a first rounder, he's still a rookie.
Right.
And so I don't expect a rookie to step right in and be able to say, oh, I'm the answer to all your worries as far as the run game is concerned. So, for me, for that defense, if they can prove and show that they can stop the run – everything else is in place.
Right.
You know, I have a lot less worry on the back end just because they're veterans. I've seen it. I know what you can do up front, particularly in the middle. I need to see it.
Right.
And I didn't see it enough consistently last year. So there is some concern there.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on this. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. We are live at the Rouses in Thibodeau. Back after this on a special edition of Sports Talk. Welcome back. Just a couple of minutes left here. I want to thank Rouses for everything. They've been awesome. The people of Thibodeau, always awesome. And tomorrow night, Nichols against LSU. And if you were in that number last night watching Kansas City and Baltimore, consider yourself a record. 28.9 million, the most ever to watch a regular season opener, NBC and Peacock. Deuce just shows you the power of the NFL, man. I mean, it's just, you know, the numbers are astonishing.
What is it? It's Peacock only tonight, right?
Yeah, Peacock only tonight.
Yeah, so it's Peacock only tonight. You have, what's the streaming Christmas? Which one is that?
Netflix.
Yeah, you've got Netflix that's gotten in the game.
Prime.
You know, you've got Prime Video that's in the game. Mike, we're going to be international for a couple years. I mean, I don't know where we're going international, but that's where the game is going.
Yep.
We already know from a streaming standpoint, you're already there. But you can always catch us.
Yeah, I mean, we're free.
You may be able to go and look at some of that other stuff on the tube, but you can catch us on the radio.
Right.
So,
that's right. Do that Sunday, please.
Don't worry about that. Catch us on Sunday. You can flirt with the other, maybe the TV stuff, but always keep us in mind.
And our coverage will begin at 8 o'clock Sunday morning, then 10 o'clock with the countdown, and then Deuce and I with the kickoff. And as we close, it's just real, finally, right? I mean, training camp was exciting. The preseason was exciting. But it's funny how fast the preseason gets shoved away when it gets real.
Here's the thing. For a lot of those guys, if you haven't had the experience, you're about to see how fast the game really is. The game is fast, and it's only going to get faster. I mean, because some people may be upset of one of the comments that Coach Allen made. It's about adjustments. Because you don't know. It's about adjustment. Who can adjust to what they're doing and maybe what they haven't seen or hadn't seen a lot? Who can adjust the best? Now, talent will always win, but adjustment will play a part as well.
We shall see. Sunday, my thanks to everybody again from Rouses, Charlie Long in the booth, Luke Augusta, DePaul Smith, the great, legendary Deuce McAllister. It is football for real, high school football tonight. Be careful out there. Roads are wet. Thanks for listening, everybody. The Brian Kelly Show is up next.